It is that idea of whether you're listening or not as Jesus speaks, hearing him say the words, but are you paying attention, that Mark chapter 4 is starting to unpack for us as we'll come to it. Actually, it's one of only two of the longer sections in Mark of Jesus' teaching. We know his priority is to come and preach, and we just get two longer sections in each of the two halves, really, of the gospel, where Mark slows the narrative right down so we'd be really clear what Jesus says, so that we'd be clear what following him looks like. So I'm just going to pray for us, and I'm going to read to us from Mark 4, and then we'll think together what it's teaching. So let me just pray. Dear Lord, we do pray now that as we hear your word read and as we have it explained, that you would speak to us. And we pray you would help us to have the ears to hear that Jesus instructs. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I say, Mark chapter 4, and I'll be reading from verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear.' When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things, come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." He said to them, "Do you bring a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." "Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. Well, we're going to just look at that section under two headings. Hopefully on the service sheet you've got, you'll see where we're headed. And firstly, we see that the word divides, so keep listening. The word divides, so keep listening. The scene opens, doesn't it, in verse 1, with Jesus sticking to his priority of teaching. The crowds by the lake are so vast that he's had to hop into a boat to be able to speak to them. It's known to be Parables Lake, I think, where they think he spoke. And it was a great echo round, so they know he could be heard. And verse 2, we're told he taught many things by parables. But Mark ensures we all hear this one, because Jesus says in verse 13, this one is key. You need to understand this to understand any of the others. And it's a well-known parable, isn't it? The seeds and the soils. Even if we're not a church regularly, we think, I kind of think I've heard this one somewhere, perhaps in a school assembly. But there's a clue that it's about more than land management. As Jesus commands, verse 3, as he opens, listen. And in many ways, that is a one-word summary of all he's about to say. Listen. So he tells the story. The farmer scatters the seed. It's almost reckless. There's paths and rocks and thorns. They're all proving a problem. But some, we're told, lands in good soil in verse 8. And there's this bumper harvest. I'm told that back then in Palestinian agriculture, a tenfold yield was considered to be God's blessing on your allotment. So this soil producing 30, 60, 100-fold, that is off the charts growth. Something extraordinary is going on. And then Jesus ends this simple story with an instruction. Verse 9, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Or in other words, listen. And we're thinking, I'm trying to listen. Is this a lesson in agriculture? Can I take this to my 21st century crouch end allotment? What is the tip here? Don't sow seeds on paths. Seems obvious. But so it'd be crystal clear what Jesus means. Mark changes scene. Did you notice in verse 10, we move from outside with the crowds to inside, with those alone around Jesus asking him about the parables. And so he explains. And as he does so, what's really clear is that parables, I don't know what you think they might be, but they're not vivid, culturally engaging, just bright stories to simply illustrate what Jesus says. But no, actually, parables do a very specific work of sifting his hearers. Did you notice verse 11? He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. There's to you on the inside, to those on the outside. For outsiders, it's in one ear and out the other. But insiders, parables seem to beckon them in to hear more, to ask questions. Tell us about the parables, Jesus. And that's why Jesus quotes unashamedly Isaiah chapter 6. I don't know what you thought as we read that. Isaiah 6 explaining how his parables do that, saying they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. We're thinking, what's going on there? But knowing the context of Isaiah 6 is helpful. God commissions and sends Isaiah a long time before Jesus to preach and warn of coming judgment to his people. And he's told to do that clearly and to do that passionately. But he's told that they will not respond because the people had already rejected God in their hearts. And so like a farmer sowing seed on ground that won't produce a crop, paths don't. Or like Jesus, remember, he's been preaching and teaching before scribes who listen whilst plotting his death. So Jesus' parables divide his hearers as it confirms the states of our hearts. There'll be insiders with ears to hear, and outsiders who ultimately just won't. I wonder if it's a bit like a stained glass window. I think we've got a picture of one. So if you're walking past an ancient building, we've got one here, slightly obscured this afternoon behind our screen, but so put that one up. You're walking past, you're unlikely to say, wow, what a beautiful window. It looks pretty dark and dull and lifeless, and you'd be totally forgiven perhaps for walking on past. It just doesn't catch your eye. That's on the outside. Of course, you come on the inside where the light pours through, and it's beautiful. And you're seeing things which you didn't see before from outside. There's so much to see, so much to learn, to look at. It's a bit like the sort of sifting work of outside and inside that Jesus' parables are doing. But let's just pause there, because perhaps we're asking ourselves, if that's the case, is this king, is Jesus, is he hiding the truth? Well, let's remember the bigger picture in Mark. Let's think where we've been, if we've been here the last few weeks together. Let's think what this king has been doing as Jesus makes outsiders like Levi insiders. As he makes outsiders like lepers insiders. As he declares, I'm a sin doctor. I'll heal the sick, the sinners, as I forgive and bring them in. Now, Jesus is clearly revealing something, not concealing. But his teaching will indeed sift those who'll listen from those who won't. He's not here or there in Mark 4 to conceal and condemn. No, he's come to reveal and restore. I presume if we hold it in balance with the verses in 21 to 25, just jump ahead as we'll come back to his explanation. But look at what he says in verse 21. He sort of tops and tails things. And he asks, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. He's saying, Jesus and his word, we're the lamp. We're the light. We reveal, not conceal. We illuminate. We beckon those from the dark outside to come in to hear more. And who comes in, verse 23? Anyone with ears to hear. And so the simple question for us is, will we hear? Will we be those who keep listening? I guess it's a bit like the choices you have. If you've ever been on an aeroplane, I used to fly a little bit with my former job, and you get to a point, some of you might know, where you've got two choices at the start of a flight. Do you listen to the safety announcement? Exits are sort of here and here. How to put on the mask, always yours first. Do you listen to that as if your life depended on it? Or do you completely switch off, uninterested, because you've heard it all before? There can be nothing new. Make a choice, listen or not. But that's just a trivial thing, really. What Jesus is saying here is, as he explains his parable, is that his word will examine our hearts. So he says, make a right choice, have ears to hear, listen. And so we're told the disciples and others come in, and they come round with Jesus in the middle, and they ask him. And so look how he explains it for us. It's clearly not about allotment management technique. Verse 14, we're told the seed sown, it's the word of God. It's the message of Jesus. And we're told it's sown far and wide, not just where it'll bear fruit, like Isaiah had to do. And so we're told, verse 15, that no seeds are going to grow on a path, they're scattered there. In fact, Jesus says they just become bird seed. And says that's the work of Satan, snatching what has been heard. So the question for us is, will we hear? Will we be challenged and changed by what we hear Sunday by Sunday, Wednesday and Thursday in our small groups or quiet times? Or is it in one ear and out the other? Put starkly, it seems Satan would be very happy for us to come to church every day if it will be in one ear and out the other. Verse 16, There's a contrast. That seems to start with a joyful hearing. There's some signs of life, but there's no depth to the root. So when struggles and suffering come, specifically here for following Jesus, so perhaps classmates don't seem to share your faith at school. Colleagues at work turning you down for promotion, suspicious of your motives, not really liking your company. Perhaps your family make life difficult because you follow Jesus. As we live out what we hear in the wider world and struggle for it, Jesus says, will you keep listening? Well, verse 18, that starts promisingly too, doesn't it? Presumably, it's like a manicured lawn at this point. There's some growth of the grass, but then the thorns take over. It's talking about the garden at 157 Park Road, clearly. But more specifically, he's talking about life's worries getting in the way. These are the thorns he talks of. Other things become more appealing. But of course, they're thorns, not grass. They're unattractive, ultimately, when it comes to following the king. So they'll choke the growth. They'll get in the way, strangle. And we'll know those things which will deceive us. Things we'll crave, riches, lusts, whatever it might be that distracts us. Jesus says, will you let them choke you if they're left unattended? Will you keep listening? Wonderfully, verse 20, we are told some are indeed sown into good soil. And what's that soil like? Well, it's the soil with ears that hear. That's what a good soil, a good heart of following Jesus looks like. We're told wonderfully to keep hearing, to keep listening. Growth happens, roots go down. Not because we get it all. Do you notice the disciples? They're full of questions. So we go through Mark's gospel. So many things they don't understand. But they want to understand. They want to come inside and see things as the light pours in. So Jesus is saying, will we keep listening? Will we keep coming Sunday by Sunday, small groups, quiet times? Will we dig up those thorns? Will we make efforts to keep listening so that ultimately we bear a crop, we grow? And this picture here, finally, of this harvest that it's beyond anything the National Farmers Union could expect. It's God's work, it's God's growth, and it's extraordinary. It's notable that as you go through his each little scenario of where the seed falls, in the original, the grammar for here, in all the bad soils, it's in the past tense. There's a sense of it being heard but abandoned, it's gone. But in the good soil, it's present tense. It's to hear and keep on hearing. And Jesus asks those on the inside, his disciples, he asks us tonight, are we doing that? Will we keep on hearing? He says this is a parable to all, and especially all who come inside and listen. His word's going to divide as it examines our hearts. And perhaps we know that, and perhaps particularly where we've seen these responses of different soils in our friends or colleagues and family. Perhaps you've known the experience of Jesus himself here from Mark 4, where we've tried to sow the message of the gospel, of Jesus' words. We've tried not to use parables, actually. We haven't deliberately wanted to sift. We've just shared his word as clearly as we can. But it's just not heard. Or if it is, it might be met with joy at one minute and so quickly forgotten. It doesn't last long. Or it lasts for a time and life's distractions get in the way. And we get downhearted. And Jesus says, but expect it. Because my word divides. And that's what he experienced. So he says, keep listening. Because it's not futile. There will be an incredible harvest that will far outweigh the fruitless harvest. That's why he gives that final challenge. Verse 24, you see, to be good soil, he says, consider carefully what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. It's more parables. We've got to think, what's he meaning here? And he's using actually an old ancient Jewish parable about measure you use to be measured back. In other words, Jesus is saying that to follow him means to use a measure of undistracted listening. And as we do that, he says, well, then we'll understand more. Consider carefully. Hear. Go on hearing. Keep listening. That's what he says following him as king is all about. It's listening to him. Secondly, and more briefly, God's word works, so keep on trusting. He goes back in verse 26 to this, or he continues, if you like, the farming parable again. But he's changed tack slightly. Now he's describing how his kingdom grows. And what's clear is that despite very dull, ordinary appearances, it really does grow. And so we're told, verse 26 on, there's this farmer again who's sowing seed. And whether he's asleep or awake and going about his day and his farmhand duties, the seed is doing its unseen work of growing. Verse 28, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. It's growing. And that's all going on whilst the farmer's going on with something else. In fact, the only next job he has to do, having sown the seed, is to simply harvest when it's ripe. It's a simple parable. Sifting us. And we've come inside and we're asking, what's he saying? With ears to hear, what's he saying? He's saying the point is this. Where does the power for the growth lie? What's the farmer done? All the power is in the seed. All the potential for growth is in God's word. And so it's simply to be sown. The sower, the farmer here, has no bearing on what goes on under the soil as it gets on with its unseen work, completely divorced from anything the farmer might have done. And so Jesus, as he commissions these first followers and encourages them and us to engage in a similar work of furthering his kingdom by sowing his word, and encouraged us to do the same, he's saying we're to trust that it is perfectly sufficient to do his work. And his work is calling people to repent and believe, to follow and to listen. His word is perfectly sufficient to reveal Jesus and to call outsiders inside. The point is, he says, it will look very ordinary. It will look very unfancy. It looked the very opposite to the way that a human king might try and establish their kingdom, with borders and might and muscle, and usually in history it seems a flag. In fact, Jesus says, as we've heard from Mark 1-3, where we've heard there'll be rejection, there'll be opposition, there'll be misunderstanding, confusion. But he says we can be humbly confident that this is how God's kingdom will grow. The seed is sown. And all the power is there. It's so important, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful Jesus says that so early on into his ministry as he encourages his followers? Think of all the ways I'm tempted to try all sorts of different methods to convince people to listen. I'm realizing more and more that if we're not careful, all our efforts can just simply obscure or change, or silence the word in some way. They can be the distractions. Jesus says here, no, the power is in the word. The message of Jesus as it works in the hearts, the soil, of anyone with ears to hear. It'll examine their hearts. And if they'll come inside and listen, it'll turn them from sin to Jesus. Full of questions, but beckoned inside to ask more, to keep listening. And so Jesus concludes this little section all about what his kingdom is like and what following him in it looks like. In verse 31, he says, so my kingdom, well, it's like a tiny minuscule and unimpressive mustard seed. It's nothing special at the start. In fact, there's one there on the slide. It's tiny. But it will grow into a plant big enough for birds to make nests. It's very likely an echo there to Ezekiel 17, where the birds are described as the Gentiles, the other nations, all being gathered into God's kingdom. Anyone with ears to hear. And before we perhaps get our knickers in a twist, thinking, hang on a minute, I can think of smaller seeds than the mustard seed. Is he really clued up on his arable farming? It's a point, it's an illustration. This is a parable that depicts things. It's a contrast. A tiny seed to an enormous tree. The point is that out of the most insignificant beginnings, invisible to our eyes, God is establishing a mighty kingdom in the hearts of all who listen with ears to hear. I wonder what those who'd gathered round Jesus then, who'd come inside, would make of what Jesus said then, if they could see the wider church today. Or I wonder what the suffering Christians being burnt alive in Caesar's Colosseum, as Mark wrote to them specifically, as they thought about the thorns and distractions and struggles, should we keep listening to this king? It's not working out so well. I wonder what they make 2,000 years later, 2,000 miles away, of us sitting here listening. Or of the billions of followers, of hearers of Jesus, the world over. I presume when we meet them, they'll say, he was right. Great oaks from little acorns do grow. But friends, of course, there's still billions who need to hear. We started September with me saying about 12,500 who need to hear in Crouch End. And so as we close, let's above all trust that it's God's word that works. And so because we're assured that it works, let's keep sowing it. And we sow it knowing wonderfully there is no need whatsoever to be a gifted evangelist with all the answers or incredible silver bullet sort of apologetic questions to those thorny, wonderfully skilled questions we might get from colleagues and friends. No, the farmer just sowed the seed and it grew. Because that's where the power is. And so we can do the same just by sharing the gospel. Nervously, unconfidently, but wonderfully, because we're not the power the word is, we do it trusting it'll do its work. That's an encouragement for us all to do that, to have a confidence to trust the word. Perhaps specifically if we're parents. Well, in all the jobs of being mum and dad, let's be encouraged to first be sowers of the word. I bet in all the things Lynette's parents did to raise her, she is most grateful they sowed the word. Let's keep sowing, let's keep teaching, let's keep modeling to them what it is to always listen to Jesus. You guys, explorers, keep asking us to do that. We know we get it wrong and we fall short a lot. Keep asking us to keep sowing the word, to keep telling you and encouraging you to listen to Jesus. And as we do that, well, friends, let's all keep trusting. Because again, as we close, the reminder is we don't see the seed at work, do we? And we don't know the type of soil it's landing in. And some of us will know the pain of those where we thought the soil seemed so good. They seemed to listen. And they're not anymore. But again, hopefully we've seen as we've gone through Mark, bad soil can start listening. Think of Levi. And good soil, it might give up. Think of Judas. But because God's word works, keep trusting. And because God's word divides, we keep listening. Well, let's just pause for a moment, think about some of those things we've heard, maybe jot down questions, things you'd like to chat with me over coffee or with each other. And then a moment or two, Graham will come and lead us in prayer.